Appreciate that song this morning. I am so grateful that the scripture bears out and our lives bear out that God is love. Aren't you? He's a God of love, and He is a God that personally loves you. He loves you personally. He knows you, knows your name. He's not just somebody that say, "Hey, do you know so and so over there? You know, a few miles away." He's a real person of love. Oh, well, that's nice. And it's always good to have people of love. But God is a God that loves you, and He cares about us. He's done so much for us, and this morning He is a worthy God to serve. He is worthy to be followed. He's worthy to be trusted. He is worthy to give our lives to when we don't understand everything. He's worthy to give our lives to when it feels like we're giving something up in this life, because He is life. I want to serve Him, don't you? I feel impressed this morning to consider the subject of home culture, a culture in the home, as part of the ordering of our lives and our homes and our responsibility to such. Home is where a lot of living takes place, doesn't it? And home is also where, it influences a whole lot about how you live outside the home too. So a lot of living in the home, a lot of living outside the home that's influenced by what happens in the home. When we think about the word culture, I don't know about you, but I think about other countries. Don't you think about that sometimes when you think about, well, there's a different culture, and it's really easy to think about, well, what country are you talking about? So countries have different cultures. States have different cultures. I grew up in Oregon, and then we moved to Louisiana. And there's different cultures in Oregon and Louisiana. It doesn't mean that one's better than the other. It's just different cultures. And so we find that across states within the United States, different cultures. There's different cultures in businesses. You ever heard the term business culture? In fact, a lot of businesses are very particular about the culture that is created at their place of business. They want their business to have a particular culture. And sometimes if you're a person that doesn't fit in with the company culture, you are sometimes encouraged to find a different culture to associate with. There's different cultures in schools. Schools have different cultures. Did you know that there's different cultures in churches too? That's maybe not my subject this morning, but it's an adjacent subject. That did you know that we have a culture here? Did you know that the Oak Grove Church of God, that there's a bit of a culture that's associated with this congregation? I want it to be a good culture, don't you? I want it to be a culture that's welcoming and that's godly, Christ-centered. The Spirit of God is here, that other people feel it when they come in. Congregations have cultures. Homes have culture. Unique cultures. And you know what that means? That means your home has a culture. It means my home has a culture. And they're unique. And because your home has a culture, your individual home, your address, when you walk through your front door where you live, there's a culture in that house. And there's a culture in my house. And what that means is, it's worthwhile to give some consideration to what that culture is. Well, what does the word culture even mean? The word culture is certainly a word that we hear a lot, and we contribute to culture whether we recognize always what we're doing. I'd like to read some formal definition. We have a little bit of time this morning. I hope this is a subject that that you find applicable to where you live. This is where we live. So I'd like to read a little bit of definition of culture. Culture is the shared pattern of beliefs, values, behaviors, and habits that shape how a group lives, thinks, and responds. It doesn't mean that everybody agrees. It doesn't mean that everybody in a particular culture always agrees with each other. But it does have to do with maybe how you disagree with each other. What maybe some patterns of agreement exist. And I know that was kind of a mouthful, so I'm going to read it another time. Culture is the shared. And it's possible that you can have a one-person culture. If you're the only one that lives in your house and the things that go on in your house, then I guess you get to define the culture by yourself. But a lot of times, when you think about culture, you think about something that involves more than one person. And so, therefore, this definition says a shared pattern of beliefs, values, behaviors, habits that shape how a group lives, thinks, and responds. Culture involves norms, expectations, rhythms, and priorities that form the way of life in countries, communities, some of these places we mentioned, churches, homes. It is an atmosphere. Culture also has to do with the atmosphere. When somebody comes into a different culture, sometimes they can just feel something a little bit different. It is an atmosphere that's created by what is taught and celebrated and corrected, repeated, and allowed. Hopefully this starts to give some understanding of at least what we're talking about when we talk about culture. And now, more specifically regarding the home, home culture is also related to what we just read, but more specifically, the lived out environment created by an individual family's beliefs, routines, tone, pattern of daily living, daily choices. It's the feel of the home. Have you ever noticed when you go into somebody's house, sometimes you just immediately notice there's a different feeling in it. And it doesn't take very long to feel a different feeling than maybe what you're used to. Doesn't mean it's wrong, better, worse. It's just the culture, the feel of the house. The spiritual, emotional, and relational climate. Climate that is shaped by what, now get a hold of this, what the household consistently practices. In other words, culture is not just what's written down or what people say is the culture of the home or the business or the congregation or whatever, but it's what's lived out. There's probably a lot of companies that have company culture, and it's written on a piece of paper. It might be hanging on the wall somewhere, but that's not the culture that's lived out. So the culture we're talking about this morning is culture that's real, that's lived out. And in the home, what actually happens? Some homes are organized, and then there's some other homes that are not so organized. Some homes are, they operate with little more discipline, others not so much discipline. Some homes are louder, and there's some other homes that are quieter. Some homes feel more loving and affectionate, and there's other homes that don't feel so loving or so affectionate. There are some homes that it's a place of a teaching, deliberate teaching. It's a place to teach and to correct. And there's other homes where there's just not as much teaching or correction that takes place. There's some homes that are most certainly Christ-centered. This home is Christ-centered. And then there's other homes that just aren't so Christ-centered. Culture. That part that's lived out. Do you believe the Lord cares anything about the culture of the house you live in? Think he cares about it? You think he cares about the beliefs of the home? You think he cares about the tone that is in the house, the routines, the rhythms that may be associated with the house? Does God care? Or is it, well, that's just the house? He cares. Yes, the Lord absolutely cares, and the Word teaches us in different ways that he cares about it a whole lot, because our home has to do with the very fabric of our lives. And as we mentioned earlier, so much of what happens inside the home influences what happens outside the home. And we're speaking of lives that are intended to reflect Jesus Christ. And so the Lord wants our homes to reflect Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be able to go out of our homes and reflect Jesus Christ. Our home, if I can say it this way, it should be like a mini Eden. The Garden of Eden was the first home that we read about, right? And I believe that the Lord would like our home to be kind of like a miniature, our own Eden, where the Lord feels welcomed. And remember when the Lord came down in the cool of the evening and he walked with them in the garden? And the Lord was welcomed at the first part, you know, until something went wrong. The Lord would like our home to be a place where, Lord, you're welcome in my home. Lord, would you abide in my home? Lord, this is intended to be a place that honors you. As opposed to the Lord coming by, like what happened in the Garden of Eden, and the Lord comes by and he says, hey, what? Where is everybody? What is that that I'm hearing? Something doesn't sound right about what I'm hearing in the home. What is that that's going on over here? This behavior. Where are y'all at? What's happening in the home here? See my point? The Lord wants our home to be a place that he's welcomed. He wants our home to be a place that's tended, intentionally tended, like the garden was. Cultivated, not neglected. And godly culture in a home doesn't happen on just by accident. If you want to have a godly culture in your home, then it's going to need to be intentional. It's going to have to be cultivated. You have to be deliberate about that. And so a few months ago, We read out of the 24th chapter of Proverbs, kind of as the first verse of this series of the ordering of our lives and our homes. And we read verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it's established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And we also read out of Deuteronomy 30 and 19, where it said, I have set before you life and death. I've set before you these options, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed might live. And a primary place that we contribute to choosing what direction we're going to go, blessing or cursing, life or death, chambers that are filled with precious and pleasant riches or otherwise, is in the home. And more specifically, the culture that we ourselves contribute to that is part of the home. So a question for consideration this morning. And this is a question for us all, because all of us here, I think, live in a house, live in a home. What is the culture of your house? What is the culture of your home? How would it be defined? What do the beliefs that are promoted, what truths are offered up to be fed from and learned? What teaching, what correction takes place, what choices take place, what does it feel like? What is the atmosphere? What's most important in your home? Because again, every home has a culture. Either by design or default, you can choose, but every home is going to have a culture. You can be intentional about it. You can have something to say about it, where you have something that you are endeavoring to accomplish by the grace of God, or you can just let happen what happens. Let whatever influences from the outside come into your home and then start to dictate the culture of your house. You can let your feelings dictate it, just however the feelings are of the day, or it can be by design. And the scripture tells us in a lot of different ways that Christian homes should be built by design, not by default. Intentionally developed culture that is promoted and that is encouraged and that is reinforced by beliefs and by habits and rhythms that are good, by teaching and correction. Maybe we'll write some of these on the board. Beliefs. What beliefs do you want to be part of your home? Just a head knowledge or live them out? You spend time on it? Did you know that everyone in your home has some beliefs and that they came from somewhere? And that there's a lot that you have to do. There's a lot that you have to do with what people believe, particularly if you have children coming up. What you have everything to say about habits and rhythms of the home. Rhythm, something that reoccurs. You can start to predict it. habits and rhythm. What is taught, teaching, and correction? You decide what's taught. You decide what you're going to correct. Things that are acceptable and unacceptable. In your house, your home, what's acceptable in my house? What's not acceptable? Leadership. Homes have leadership or the absence of. Well, this list, we could go on and on with this list. You may say, what?
I mean, that sounds like a lot. Why can't we just live life? Do we have to worry about it this much? Is it that important that I have to think about, you know, my home in terms of what's believed and how I influence that and the habits and rhythms and routines that happen inside the house and what's taught and corrected and what's acceptable and not acceptable and whether or not there's really any leadership in the home? I mean, can I just have a home where I can just come and just live life and not have to worry about any of this stuff so much? Yes, you can. Absolutely. You can do that. In fact, I guess we referenced it earlier. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 says, I have set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and cursing. It didn't say, I am going to force these beliefs and I'm going to make you have these habits and routines and teach and correct this. And this is what's going to be acceptable, not acceptable. And you're going to be a leader in this way. It's not what it says. We are given the choice. And you can choose. You don't have to give this really deliberate consideration if you don't want to.
It's just that if you don't, it's just that the consequences of not choosing life aren't very pleasant. It's just that eventually living in a house where there is an absence of pleasant and precious riches, it's real and it's not preferable. Sometimes there's a lot of heartache that goes with that. And it doesn't mean that you can control the outcome of everything. But we have a responsibility to choose. What is our choice going to be? And if you don't want to worry about it, you don't have to worry about it. But that doesn't mean that there will be no consequences if you don't worry about it. Because consequences just, they flow from the decisions and the actions that we take in life. And so the scripture said it's only by wisdom and understanding and the grace of God that a house is built that results in homes that are filled with many pleasant and precious riches. And we read that. And so it's a choice. It's a responsibility, but it's not a responsibility that you can say, well, you know what? I've got a lot going on right now. I think I'm going to worry about the culture of my house later. Because it's something you can't put off. That's where the by default or by design part comes in. You can put it off if you want, but if you put it off, then all that's going to do is that just starts to dictate the type of culture that you are going to have in your house. And the consequences that flow from that. And so I want to be deliberate about it. When the home becomes your home, the responsibility increases dramatically. We have a number of new married couples here. We have
some young people here that aren't quite out of the house, but maybe are getting close. We have folks here that have been married for a while and have children coming up. We have others that maybe their children are gone, but you still have a home. When you have your home where you are the head of the house, or you're the keeper of the house, husband and wife, your responsibility increases. Versus if you're a child in your mom and dad's house, you have a responsibility too. And you contribute to the culture, and there's consequences that go along with what you decide. But when you get your own house, when you say, I can't wait till I'm out on my own. Can't wait till I have my own place. I'm gonna do what I want to do then. You will. You get to do just exactly what you want to do, and then but you can't decide on the consequences always. You can decide what you're gonna do. And when you get that house and it's yours, and you go through the front door and it's your house, your address, not your mom and dad's, but you now are the head of the house, or you're the keeper of the house, your responsibility increases exponentially about what happens in that house. And it's not something to be afraid of. It's actually, I mean, those are the sorts of things that you look forward to. If you're in a house that has a really nice culture and you enjoy living in your house, well, you could go then have your own house and endeavor by the help of the Lord to duplicate that and have a wonderful little mini Eden that's your sacred, wonderful, comfortable, secure place to come to. God intended for it to be like that. And if you're in a home that the culture wasn't so good growing up, then you have the opportunity to create a home of your own where it's a wonderful place to live. So it's not something to be afraid of. It's not something to draw back from. And the Lord has promised to help us. It's part of His plan that we have a home. Now, there's a question that is asked of leaders in the workplace. In some workplaces. And the question that sometimes is asked of leaders, people that are in leadership positions, the question is, what do you believe is your primary responsibility as a leader? And one of the most solid answers that can be given to that question, if you're ever asked that question, get in a leadership position, and you're asked that question, what do you believe your primary responsibility is as a leader? One of the most solid responses that can be given and then lived out, at least for starters, is my responsibility as a leader is to set the tone. Set the tone of the workplace. Not just in word, but set the tone with expectation, with your actions, and with follow-up. Set the tone as a leader. And so a question that is something for us to think about and answer this morning is, what kind of tone has been set in your house? Because you're the leader. If it's your home, you're the head of the home, or you're a keeper of the home, a man and a wife, a mother and a father, you have responsibility to set the tone of your home. What is the tone of your home look like? As a leader and keeper of the home, is this important to you?
what you believe, what truths have become incorporated as part of how your home operates? Do you make time and space to formulate and grow, nurture beliefs founded in truth and the Word of God? Are you deliberate about it? Or not so much? Is it just each to their own? What about the habits and routines and rhythm of your home? Is it a home that you can expect prayer to take place in this home? You can expect that when you come to this home, the culture is such, the heart is such that people are going to be praying in this house. Individually, there's going to be collective prayer. There's going to be family worship. We're going to pray before we eat from our hearts. This is a home of prayer. A routine, a rhythm. This house, we believe in fellowshipping with God's people and going to church on a regular basis. But yes, of course, there's incidents. There's things that happen in our lives and we don't make it to a specific place of worship. I'm not talking about that. Sometimes that's what we're supposed to do. The Lord has this and it's His will for us to attend to something else. But I'm talking about a pattern of living. This home. We believe in filling a place in the body of Christ where it's not just about me, but it's about other people too. A rhythm that we're talking about. Is this a home that nurtures, hey, in this house, if we err, if we say something out of turn, if we do something we shouldn't have done and we realize it, it's taught, it's a belief, it's a habit that we say, I'm sorry. I goofed. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Is it a place where we're in a habit of showing affection? Or not? These are important things. What do we teach our children about what we talk about? Did you know that as your children start to grow up and they're in the home, what they see mom and dad do sets a bar that becomes a norm, a standard, if you will. And oftentimes, it's a high bar in their minds, in a child's mind. It's a high bar. It's mom, it's what mom and dad. That's what they do at their house. This is acceptable. What do you talk about in your house around your children? Is it a house of gossip? Is it a house of always putting people down, talking about other people, diminishing people behind their backs, and the children grow up and they hear mom and dad talking about, well, did you see brother and sister so-and-so? Do you know what they did? I can't believe they did that. Why would they ever do that? Oh, yeah, but you should have seen this. And then they grow up and they hear this kind of stuff. It's part of the culture of their house that they live in. And it starts influencing what they think about other people and how they act and what they're going to say. The Lord wants us to be careful. As leaders of our house, as keepers of the house, stewards of children that He gives us, careful about what we say. Careful about what's talked about. Do we teach in the house about this kind of stuff? The teaching and correction? If we see a habit, a rhythm, a belief that starts to become internalized, are we deliberate about teaching our children? Because they're going to get taught somewhere. They're going to get taught outside the house. They're going to spend a lot of hours outside of the home, and then they're going to live life. And if we're not deliberate about having a strong culture in the home where we're teaching truths and practical application of what it looks like when we walk out the front door. They're going to get it somewhere. And what happens in the house also affects how you, as a leader and keeper, a husband and wife, a mother and a father, how you're going to live outside the house. It's a place to refuel. It's a place to, Lord, help me, have mercy on me. Lord, give me the strength that I need to live like you would have me to live. What about what's acceptable and unacceptable in your home? Things that are watched. See, this is where we live. What is okay to watch in your house? What's okay for your children to watch? Do you know what they're watching? What's okay to listen to in your house? See, all of this begins to develop a culture of your home. What's acceptable? What's not acceptable? What is partaken of? What's okay to do in your house? Would the Lord be pleased with it? Or would there be some things that are acceptable in your house that if the Lord were to come down in the cool of the evening, say, whoa, what's this? Is there leadership in the home? It's not just, well, is there somebody that's physically stronger than everybody else in the home and so therefore he's the leader? Is there somebody in the home that has taken on the responsibility of setting the tone in the house for this? That is anchored in love and Christ? You can do all of these things and try to be a dictator and it's my home, I'm the strongest, this is what's going to happen. Don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, that's a culture too that has consequences. But is there leadership where somebody loves, cares, wants to nurture, wants to reflect God the Father, wants to reflect the church, the bride of Christ, and provides leadership in a way that influences what happens next? This is where we live each day. This is real life. Did you know that values and beliefs, they influence your thoughts? This is human action model. And thoughts influence your actions, right? And actions have consequences. Values and beliefs influence your thoughts. Your thoughts influence your actions, and your actions have consequences. And this part right here, this value and belief part, is largely influenced by what happens in your home. This value and belief part. You say, well, that's just what I believe. I can't help what I believe. Yeah, you can. You can influence it. When little children, little babies come into this world, the first thing that happens is they, for the sake of time, I'm going to write this out, they become aware. They're aware of things. And then they begin to learn about what they're aware of. They see movement, they see things, and with time they begin to learn about those things. And then with a little bit more time, they begin to commit to some of these things they've learned about. They start making some choices about what they've learned that came from what they were aware of. And those things begin to become internalized and part of who their identity is, which goes to this, which then influences their thoughts, their actions, and consequences of life. You with me? Be careful what you put in front of your children. Be careful about what you teach them. Be careful about the options you give them to commit themselves to. Make sure that truth is put before them so they can be made aware of it and learn about it, so that they can commit themselves to those things that tend to life, blessing, as opposed to death and cursing. So that your seed can live. And so that when they have their own home and think about their own home culture, that you have helped set them up by the help of God so that they can have their home where they influence their children in a positive way. And so that there can be values and beliefs that lead to life.
By the grace of God, I want to make choices that help establish a home that is built by wisdom and understanding. I want to make choices where I have values and beliefs that result in chambers of my life that contain many precious and pleasant riches, so that I might live and so that those that follow after me might live too. This is where lasting life is found. May the Lord help each one of us to internalize some of these truths from the word of the Lord and be faithful to those that are in our homes. Pray for me, I want to be true. Amen.